My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the season of Lent, time of purification, a time of intensified seeking of union with God, we're encouraged to pray, to fast, and to give alms as the means by which to accomplish a greater union with God. And so in today's gospel, we learn from the Master, we learn from God Himself, how it is that we are to pray. In the prayer, then, that the Lord teaches us, He prefaces it with these words, which sometimes are used as a argument, a fallacious argument, against the Catholic practice of the Rosary, for instance, in which we repeat certain prayers. Our Lord says, in praying, do not babble like the pagans who think that they will be heard because of their many words. Well, it helps to know what a pagan is, so we can see that the Rosary in no way is a pagan practice or utterance, and pagans don't pray the Rosary. Paganism, the original meaning of the word is actually very innocuous. It just, pagan referred to the people who lived in the country dwellers, rustic folk, not the city dwellers, because that's where non-monotheistic religions were practiced. That's where idolatry was generally prevalent. In the cities is where Christianity took hold, where Judaism before Christianity was strong. And so knowledge of the one true God was more concentrated in the cities. And so pagans were generally, it was a term to refer to those people who clung to ancestral beliefs, animism, and other idolatrous beliefs. And there are actually, in our day, other connotations to this word, clearly. Often it's meant to refer, and Father John Harden gives an easy definition in his dictionary, a heathen. In general, anyone who practices idolatry, formerly used to describe anyone who did not profess monotheism. More properly, a pagan is a person who has abandoned all religious belief, an irreligious person. There's a interesting essay on what a pagan is by Catholic apologist Mark Shea, or she, I'm not sure how, I think it's Shea is how he pronounces his name, but he distinguishes the paganism of today from old paganism. In these latter days, pagan has taken yet another turn and is now used in some circles as a compliment. Among a growing number of people, pagan now means post-Christian religionist who is attempting to rescue reverence for nature from the hands of evil Judeo-Christian earth rapists. He says the general notion is that among current day pagans of this kind, that somehow humanity has lost its way and turned against Mother Earth, and we need to return to worshiping the gods and goddesses, especially of nature. And who needs all this stuff about sin, dying to self, and redemption? We just need to return to our natural state of innocence with the gods and goddesses of nature, and then we'll be happy again. Somewhat sounds like Jean-Jacques Rousseau, cast in a kind of even more explicitly anti-Christian light. G.K. Chesterton also distinguishes then between the pre-Christian and post-Christian paganism, and he actually said good things about the pre-Christian paganism because it was a search for something, a search for some truth But then, of course, it was eclipsed by the true knowledge of God. The Word was made flesh. The light came into the world. And so the post-Christian paganism is a turning away from the light. And then, of course, you know, our Lord also says, do not babble like the pagans. And babbling means to talk enthusiastically or excessively, uttering meaningless or unintelligible sounds. So our Lord says, don't pray that way, pray this way. This is how you are to pray. And he teaches us the Our Father. The Our Father, of course, coming back to the question of the rosary, is one of the components of that prayer, as you all know. The other prayers are all thoroughly Christian, thoroughly scriptural. Begins with the Apostles' Creed, and then the Hail Mary, the angelic salutation, which is straight out of the scripture. And our Lord then is teaching us to repeat certain words that root us in God, that root us in the truth, in the knowledge of the true God, the one that he teaches us in today's gospel, is the prayer par excellence that teaches us how to relate to God, our Father in heaven. And our Lord implies then that it is proper to repeat these words. He teaches us a prayer. And the other words that we repeat in the rosary also are really a practice of imitating the angel Gabriel, for instance, acknowledging the Immaculate Mother of our Savior, the Mother of God. And then in summary, our Lord also says this conditional truth. He conveys a conditional truth to us, which we have to really keep at heart during this time of Lent, because, as I said, we're seeking to come closer to God, to unite ourselves to God through prayer. And our Lord has taught us then in his own words how we are to pray, encourages us to repeat these words, and I would say by extension other scriptural passages, and to imitate the saints. And then he says, if you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you, but if you do not forgive men, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. And so God's mercy, we're given the key, the secret, if you will, the way in which to obtain God's mercy, forgiveness for our sins, is to forgive those who transgress against us. And our Lord teaches us to repeat this prayer, to keep that lesson close to heart. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Pope Francis, in his pontificate, has made the proclamation of mercy a central message, and underlined that in this time of mercy, which precedes the time of justice, God will rescue the just from all their distress. And so, in seeking to be just, in seeking to please God, to become united to him, let us remember the words that our Lord taught us. Let us remember that he is the word sent by God the Father to show us the way, and that he wants us, above all, to be merciful to one another, to learn to forgive. And so let us pray as the church teaches us, in imitation of the angel, also to turn to Our Lady and to use that prayer that she recommends so highly in this time of penance, in this time of purification, to pray the rosary daily, which binds us then, as it were, to God. May His word be efficacious in us. Praise be Jesus and Mary.